That would be kind of funny.
Good evening, everybody. I'd like to call this meeting to order. Tonight is the Monroe City Council regular business meeting. The date is Tuesday, February 11th, 2014. Would you call the roll, please?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cutaback, Rasmussen, and Camp.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp, will you lead us in the pledge?
Sir.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilmember Camp. The first item that we have on our agenda under announcements and presentations is a swearing-in ceremony for three new police officers. Chief Quinzer, you've got the con.
You've got the calm? Is that what you said? Trying to be cool.
I'm not sure what you meant.
I don't.
Got the microphone, sir.
Thank you to all those in attendance, Mayor Thomas, council members, family, and friends of those being recognized tonight. Thank you, Judge Clough, for officiating the ceremony. And to start off with, it is my pleasure to introduce Officer Travis Flock.
I, Travis Flock.
I, Travis Flock.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution and the laws of the State of Washington.
And the Constitution and the laws of the State of Washington.
And the ordinances of the City of Monroe.
The ordinances of the City of Monroe.
That I will faithfully discharge the duties.
I will faithfully discharge the duties
of police officer for the City of Monroe Police Department.
Of police officer for the City of Monroe Police Department.
And I will do so to the best of my ability.
And I will do so to the best of my ability.
Congratulations, officer.
Thank you.
I have an order I have to do. Okay, Travis began his career with our department on April 3rd, 2013. He graduated from Hardin Simmons University in Texas with a Bachelor of Behavioral Science degree in Criminal Justice. Travis met his wife in college and moved to Washington, where his family is from. Travis lives in Snohomish with his wife, Martina.
Just push hard.
Travis, would you like to introduce any family or friends that you have here?
Just my wife, Martina, here.
Okay, great. The next officer I'd like to introduce is Officer James Hand. James began his career with our department on April 3rd, 2013. James attended the University of Washington, receiving a Bachelor of Arts degree in Sociology with a minor in Law. Along with Officer Block, he graduated from the Basic Law Enforcement Academy On September 13th, 2013, and just recently finished his field training assignment. Please help me congratulate Officer Han in joining our agency. Do you have someone that would be pinning your badge?
My mother.
Your mother, okay, great. Would you like to introduce any family or friends other than your mother? Father, back there. Congratulations. Next, I'd like to introduce Officer Devin Tucker.
Could you move a little slower on this one? And I have a bad voice, so I apologize. I, Devin Tucker, do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
Well, I will support the Constitution of the United States.
I will support the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution and the laws of the State of Washington.
The Constitution and the laws of the State of Washington.
And the ordinances of the City of Monroe.
The ordinances of the City of Monroe.
And I will faithfully discharge the duties.
I will faithfully discharge the duties.
Of police officer for the City of Monroe Police Department.
Police officer for the City of Monroe Police Department.
And I will do so to the best of my ability.
And I'll do so to the best of my abilities.
Congratulations.
Devin began his career with our department on May 7, 2013. Prior to working for our department, he served in the U.S. Navy for 7 years. He currently lives in Snohomish with his wife, Sarah, and their son, Brody. Officer Tucker graduated from the Basic Law Enforcement Academy in October, where he was the recipient of the highest in his class for Academic Achievement Award and the highest in his class for Overall Achievement Award in all phases of basic training. Please help me congratulate Officer Tucker in joining our agency.
My wife, Sarah Tucker, my son, Brody, is right there, and we got another little one away in about a month.
I'm proud to recognize these officers before this council, and I value their commitment to the Monroe Police Department. Also, I'd like to invite all their family and friends to the police department next door for refreshments. We can have about a 2-minute break.
Okay, and we will stand in recess until 7:10. Thank you.
We never get to go. I know that kid.
Okay, we're coming back into session now. Before I continue, I'd like to point out that Councilmember Davis, Councilmember Gehring, and Councilmember Gamble are all out excused this evening. Okay, the next item that we have on the agenda is AB 14-021. This is confirmation of appointments to Ethics Board, Park Board, and Library Board. What I'll do is we'll first take the Ethics Board. Council, if you would like to confirm, what you'll do is you'll confirm each one individually. And for those of you that are confirmed tonight, you'll have the opportunity to be sworn in, just like you saw the police officers. We'll let you know when to come forward for that. So the first two that are up are for the Ethics Board. One is Trevor Thompson. He expressed an interest in serving a second term, so he's already been serving on the Ethics Board. The other one is Felton Miles. He's expressed an interest to a first term on the board. I interviewed Mr. Biles and have appointed him subject to your confirmation. The terms for both Mr. Thompson and also Mr. Miles would expire on December 31st, 2016. Council, have any questions? Okay. I'll go on to the Parks Board. Parks Board appointment is Tammy Beaumont. to a first term to expire on December 31st, 2017. And then the last one is the Library Board, Travis Poole, to a first term to expire on December 31st, 2018. And that's a rundown of the appointments. Councilmember Hanford.
Do you need a motion to confirm, or do we?
Yes, a motion for each one individually.
Move to approve Trevor Thompson to the Ethics Board.
Second.
Okay, I have a first and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Councilmember Hanford.
Move to approve Felton Miles the third. Is that right? To the Ethics Board.
Okay.
Second.
I have a first. I have a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I'd move to appoint Tammy Beaumont to the Parks Board.
Second.
Okay. I have a motion to confirm the appointment of Tammy Beaumont to the Parks Board and a second from Councilmember Cuddeback. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Make a motion to appoint Travis Poole to the Library Board.
Second.
I have a motion to confirm the mayor's appointment of Travis Poole to the Library Board. Any discussion? And a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. So, congratulations to the four of you. I'd like to go ahead and invite Trevor Thompson up. And our rather than having a judge swear you in, our city clerk will do that.
Ready? I'm qualified.
Fair enough.
Okay. You are stating that you, Trevor Thompson, do solemnly swear or affirm that you will support the Constitution and laws of the United States and the state of Washington and ordinances of the city of Monroe, and that you will faithfully and impartially perform and discharge the duties of Ethics Board member according to law and to the best of your ability and understanding.
I do. All right, thank you.
I'd like to invite Mr. Felton Miles III up.
Mr. Felton J. Miles III, would you solemnly swear or affirm that you will support the Constitution and laws of the United States and the state of Washington and ordinances of the city of Monroe, and that you will faithfully and impartially perform and discharge the duties of Ethics Board member according to law and to the best of your ability and understanding?
I do.
Ms. Tammy Beaumont.
You, Tammy Beaumont, do solemnly swear or affirm that you will support the Constitution and laws of the United States and the state of Washington and ordinances of the city of Monroe, and that you will faithfully and impartially perform and discharge the duties of Park Board member according to law and to the best of your ability and understanding.
And Mr. Travis Poole.
So then you, Travis Poole, just solemnly swear or affirm that you will support the Constitution and the laws of the United States, the state of Washington, and the ordinances of the city of Monroe, and that you will faithfully and impartially perform and discharge the duties of a Library Board member according to law and to the best of your ability and understanding.
And I just want to say that we had about 7 people apply, so we had a pretty good size applicant pool for all the positions that we had. All of them were very well qualified, and I thank everybody for their application, and I thank all of you, each of you, ahead of time for your service. You don't need to stay for the rest of the meeting if you don't want to. So, yes. What we're going to do is ask you to come up and sign them. We're going to stand in recess until 7:20 so that those can be signed.
Congratulations.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and call the meeting back to order. now is time for comments from citizens. This is the time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. We have public comment limited to 5 minutes per speaker. And do we have anybody that signed in? Okay, nobody has signed in. Is there anybody interested in coming forward and speaking? Anybody? Okay, seeing none. We're going to move on to student representative report. Our student representative is not here tonight, and we don't have a report. We're now going to move on to the consent agenda. Council? Councilmember Hanford?
Motion to approve the consent agenda as listed.
Okay, I have a motion to approve consent agenda items 1 through 3.
Second.
I have a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. The next item that we have on the agenda is under new business. That's AB 14-023. This is the general fund 5-year budget forecast, and I believe that Ms. Nelson has this. Diane?
Mayor, is that what I just given over to, just a quick overview rather than going through the whole thing with you?
We like your new haircut.
Oh, thanks. The overall forecast, when you look at the actual spreadsheet, I think it's item 2A on the attachments, it's basically shows us towing the line in operations. The overall takeaway from that would be there's three things that council really needs to concentrate on and work on in order of urgency. Is first is we need to come up with $500,000 in permit fees for the Walmart and Housing Hope projects in the first half of this year, and so council needs to think about where they want that money to come from. A suggestion would be the restricted reserve in the contingency fund. There's $900,000 in there, but it's per the reserve policy, it's restricted. So that's something council would have to visit. The second thing that council needs to address from the forecast is how to fund street maintenance going forward. The forecast does not show any funding for street maintenance whatsoever. And so that's, and the third thing is, as the city grows, there will be more demands placed on us for services, which means we will need more staff. And the forecast does not show an increase in any staff whatsoever. So we need to think about policies and how you want to address that to meet the demands that more population and more commercial growth will place upon the city's infrastructure. Those are the three main things. In the packet, I have given you everything that I had regarding the forecast. So you can see, I know a lot of times people feel I'm really conservative, and so this way you can see where the assumptions, these are the assumptions after much discussion with the staff and the mayor, and it shows how we came to the estimates. I believe the plan is to get council discussion and input, and if you see things that you really disagree with on the forecast, we can update it and bring it back and for further discussion.
Thank you. So I just want to point out a couple of things on here. So if you click on attachment number 2, the general fund 5-year forecast, you'll see a line that says under expenditures. That under expenditures line is appropriation authority that's been granted as part of the 2014 budget that is being counted into the next row, which is the net operating revenues and expenditures. And so what we are showing there is that of the budgeted authority, there's $213,996 that would be under expended or not expended this year, and that the revenues and expenditures would be minus $102,000. That does not include the $333,000 related to Walmart or the roughly $200,000 related to Housing Hope, which are both one-time expenditures. When you look at the under expenditure line there, the 213,996, you'll see that under expenditure continues into the future. That what you're seeing there is the economic development manager position being carried forward as not being funded in future years. If the position were still here, if there were still a staff member in that position, that would be carried forward. You wouldn't see that positive number there. But you can see that the revenue and the expenditures begin to climb. So if you go down to the next line in 2015 through 2019, which is a good trend, it allows us to be able to accommodate growth. But as Diane pointed out, it doesn't provide us with that $500,000 to $1 million a year to fund streets. And let me see. Some of the assumptions that were built into this model, we did an update of the forecast that I looked at on January 2nd. The update took the number of homes that are being assumed from 299 homes over the course of 5 years to 500 homes over the next 5 years. And that number came as a result of a conversation that I had with builders that are doing business here in Monroe. Then corroborated with our planning department that had been seeing an increase in applications in the pipeline to do residential and other development. As every home comes to town, what happens is that you have an increase in not only in your property tax revenue, but you also have an increase in sales tax and utility tax and other revenues, because with every person that comes to town, there's more that they're buying and more taxes and whatnot from sales taxes. I think that pretty much gives a highlight of some of the updates that occurred to this forecast from what I saw on January 2nd. All right. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Before council begins the discussion, I just want to be upfront and clear in regards to the presentation that you have here. Specifically regarding Housing Hope, I do sit on their East County Board and Steering Committee. I don't get paid for the position as volunteer, but I did want to bring that up to your attention so everyone is aware of it.
Thank you. Now, do any other council members have any questions or comments? Okay, so one of the things that we can do is we can, if council has any questions, we can get those questions to Diane. If you, and then we can update the forecast that we have here. If you would rather go through the more detailed presentation, I can certainly ask that Diane do that detailed presentation probably next week. That's where she would go through the PowerPoint presentation. I think that this is a valuable tool. It allows us to see where our finances are so that when we're making decisions about street funds, about partnering with different organizations, it allows us to not only see the impact on the current budget, but also to look at the future year's budgets. In some cases, you create a bow wave. For example, when you bring on a position, it creates a bow wave. I want to also point out that in the under expenditures, there's an assumption of not filling the parks. There was an assistant park maintenance employee, and then it also assumes that rather than hiring a director level planning position, that it's an associate level position. So that's why that's 213 and not 85,000 in 2014. Those are a couple other assumptions. Okay. Councilmember Hanford, I don't know who was for you first.
Thank you. Yeah, I would like, since there's three of the council gone, I think if Diane were to prepare that for next week,
okay,
then that'd probably be wise.
Okay, sounds good. Councilmember Camp?
I think I'm answering my own question, but your list of assumptions are included in the document, right?
Yes, they should be.
the other...
The list of assumptions for the under expenditures and also...
I didn't see it.
It's in the PowerPoint.
I'm sorry?
It's in the PowerPoint presentation.
Right, I just found it. Thank you. I agree with Councilmember Hanford, since we have such a vacancy tonight.
Sounds good. One of the things that some jurisdictions do, one of the things that some jurisdictions will do is they'll come up with a policy for the long-term forecast. So as you're looking at that revenue and expenditure line, for example, I think the city of Everett had a policy that had been adopted by council that that had them, when you're going to add in a new significant expenditure, plug the information into the model so they can see what the long-term and the short-term impacts are. There's another jurisdiction that I guess the policy was something as simple as when you look at the net revenue and expenditure, you need to have higher revenues than expenditures. There are some jurisdictions that might want to plan for that growth of 500 homes, which comes out to about 1,400 people, I think was a number, about 1,400 more people coming to town, and recognize that with new people coming to town, you may need, you know, another police officer or two, and therefore plan to have a certain gap there so that, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, there's that ability to do that incremental increase of another officer or something like that. So these are examples of policies that council could consider adopting. And the timeliness of this discussion is, first, it's early in the year. So as we're thinking about doing various things, mm-hmm. it's important to keep the bottom line in mind. It's also important to consider that that bottom line goes into the fourth dimension of time. It's that ripple effect going forward. And then lastly, we're going to be working on putting together a budget for your consideration beginning in July. And so if council would like to entertain a policy, it would be advantageous to have that policy in place by May or June so that staff and I can consider that in putting together a proposed budget for you for 2015. So without that, I would probably be looking at it and working with staff to sort of identify a policy that we would want to follow to keep the number positive. All right, Councilmember Cuddeback.
Thank you. Diane, a couple of questions. when you were saying the $500,000 in permit fees that needs to come out, and that's this year, is that correct? When you said restricted reserve, do you mean out of the contingency fund?
Yes.
Okay. And the contingency fund is currently at $900,000. Is the $250,000, that last payment going into the general fund, is that out of the $900,000 or is it $900,000?
$900,000 is what's left in the restricted.
Okay. After that $250,000. Okay. And so if we take $500,000 out of there, it would leave it at $4,000, and that's what you're suggesting?
That's something council may want to revisit on the reserve policy. There's a restrictive reserve in the contingency fund, and I personally don't think you need a restrictive reserve in that fund. You have a restricted reserve in the general fund for emergencies.
That's the $2 million.
Yeah, so why would you need a restricted reserve?
On the contingency. Okay, so that might have to be changed before we take out the $500,000. And then do we have anything planned on refunding that contingency fund over time?
No.
Okay, so there's nothing planned out of operations, you know, because some of the funds, the reserve funds are there. If you have a maintenance reserve, it's intended to build up and then to be used, but there has to be some plan to refund it as it's taken out. So that might be something we want to discuss about contingency fund. I know we funded it with the one-time land sales that we've got, but if that's something we want to continue to have in the future, there has to be some kind of funding stream, whether it's a small percentage of sales tax revenue and over time you build it back up, some way to fund it back up after it's been used. So that's something I'd like us to maybe have a discussion about. Okay. How to fund reserves if we use them.
Right.
Because at times we're going to need to use them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not much of a reserve if you can't refund them and get them back up. And then as far as the policy, what are your thoughts on that, Diane, on coming up with a policy on the...
Do you mean a fiscal policy?
Yeah, on, sure, yeah.
I have a few ideas, but you know, it's whatever council desires. I think that maybe having something that states, identifies what's one-time revenue versus ongoing revenue, mm-hmm. and specifying what one-time revenue can be used to not allow it to be used for ongoing operations. Mm-hmm. Like if you have one-time revenue, you wouldn't hire a person. That type of thing,
sure.
That type of fiscal policy. Another thing would, I personally don't think you need a restrictive reserve on a contingency fund.
Yeah, okay.
There are some other things, maybe specifically diverting a specific percentage of property tax to the street fund is a possibility. Some cities do that. I wouldn't say that, whatever.
Has to go in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Councilmember Cuddeback asked most of the questions I had, but do we have an actual target date for these for the $500,000? You said the next 6 months, but
yeah,
I don't feel for that. Okay.
I could probably rationalize and not get into too much trouble with the auditor if we push it out until April.
Okay.
But you really can't pass the giggle test after that because you're supposed to pay it when they pay their permit fees. We expected them to pay their permit fees the first part of 2014. They didn't. They came in earlier. And so we can use that as our rationalization of why we didn't pony up our portion at that time.
Okay.
Technically, we should have done it last December. The housing quote, I think part of it's coming in the first quarter and part of it's coming in the second quarter is our estimate.
So we have to complete, we have to finish our payment by June?
Whatever they come in for permits, we can come in with our.
And we don't, do we have a feel for when that's going to occur? Or?
It'll be in the first half of the year.
Okay, so I'll just assume June at this point. Okay,
but
thank
some
you.
Some of it is going to be sooner. Some of it's going to be.
Now, do we have to make a partial payment to accommodate that, or do we do everything in lump sum at the end of the, with their second payment?
Technically, we're supposed to do it when they pay. We're supposed to pay our portion when they pay their portion.
Okay.
Paul, could you, would you be able, or Diane, could you give a little bit more detail? I learned a little bit more about the Housing Hope. It's not a, the application hasn't been submitted yet, or... Can you explain a little bit more why this payment would be made and why it's not all happening at once with a definitive date?
We're talking about the Housing Hope project on the south side of Main Street with about 47 units. They have units there that are that have these that are eligible for exemptions on these fees, and that project has been under review, and we are now actually waiting on a return of building plans that have been through at least one review cycle. And we're expecting that they will be pulling building permits sometime in this first quarter. I have no idea just when they might be coming back, but impact fees are payable at the time of the issuance of building permits, except for otherwise. And there are, like, the parking impact fees are, do not have to be refunded. But the transportation does do the water and sewer capital fees.
It's broken out on page 22 of the second electrical pack.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other comments right now?
It's all.
Okay, so we will do the more robust presentation then next week when we have other council members here as well. And again, I would strongly encourage you to look through the material. If you have any questions, please send them in to Diane with a copy, to Jean and to me. And Diane, did you have another?
Yeah, I will not be here next week.
So is, would there be any reason, because our next meeting will be on March 4th, so... Okay, does council have any concerns about waiting until March 4th for the discussion? The only thing that's timely that's coming up, so number one, I'd like everybody to be aware as we're making decisions up here about various programs that we'd like to fund of the forecast and of the current budget year. And then number two, we have a timeliness issue related to the 333K, and that will be something that will require a budget amendment, a supplemental budget appropriation, in order to complete. And do we, and forgive me, do we have a public hearing for those sorts of ordinances?
Not for budget amendments.
Okay, so that'll be something that we'll need to bring forward in March, and that'll be the one thing that'll require more immediate feedback in March. Everything else, again, can move into thinking about what sort of policy folks would like to proceed with, and. I guess that's it for now. So March 4th it'll be. And I'm sorry, I was going to call you Councilmember Brazel. Gene.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to ask Council on this topic as far as low-income housing, things like that. We have it on our books or ordinance that the city will pay some of the permitting fees, and so that's why you see this proposal with Housing Hope. So my question to council is, do you want to revisit that and see if that's something that we want to continue in the future? Can the city really afford to be doing that at this time? If you'd like to revisit it, we could certainly schedule it on the long-term agenda.
Okay, I don't see any lights on that. And that's something, again, that we could talk about on March 4th as well. All right, seeing no other lights, we'll go ahead and move on to the next item, and Council, thank you. The next item under new business is AB 14024. It's confirmation of a city logo color and theme. And Gene, do you have this one?
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I didn't want to make a big deal of this at all. Just in travels for the past couple months, I've heard just a few offhanded comments about the logo and the color and that type of thing. And as we move into the comprehensive plan update, I just wanted to get kind of some confirmation from council that you guys are happy with the direction that we've chosen. I know we went through kind of a lengthy process a year or so ago, picking out the colors, picking out the logo, and our website's designed around that, our city vehicles are designed around that, letterhead and that type of thing. But before we start moving into the comprehensive plan update too far, I just wanted to kind of get some confirmation if council is happy with that before we move on. And it also ties into the wayfinding program as well.
Okay, Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Gina, I also heard that, I've heard some of the comments as well, and I guess just from my own knowledge, if you can, or council that was part of the conversation at the time, just kind of enlighten me as far as in regards to the logo and the colors, kind of how it came about. I mean, I read the packet and understand the consultant was involved, and a lot of this was based off their recommendation, but... Yeah, I'm just kind of curious as to why the vibrant color scheme versus the hometown color scheme, and you know the particular design of the logo versus what we had and so forth like that. I'm just trying to get a general overview of how it went that direction.
Mr. Brazel?
Yes, certainly, and I'll probably lean on Brad for some of the history of this, but it's my understanding that the design came from when we did the branding study several years ago. Many different options were looked at. There was presentations to the council, and they kind of landed on this adventure.
Challenge.
That's right.
Sports.
The challenge sports theme. From that, the colors, there were a few listed, but the primary decisions were made on the color when we started moving into the website. And there was some color blotches that went with the themes, and from that we looked at, you know, pastels, we looked at earthy colors, but the decision at that point in time was to do vibrant colors because it kind of went with that adventure type theme. So as you looked at the slides, you noticed that there was a series of different colors that were in vibrant. So does that answer your question? Did I miss anything, Brad, that you know of?
That's pretty much it. It's just another thing on the logo itself, that shape is, when it had the destination development study, it was that there's just setting the world apart, because there's lots of cities out there that have, you know, the mountain peaks and things like that, and how to make yourself different.
Okay.
And so that was when the council adopted the 2007 destination development plan in 2011. That was where that logo came from.
Got it. Thank you.
And I just might add, when I was at Emmitsburg, Maryland, at a class, I was passing out my business cards, and quite a few people said, "Wow, cool logo." So
okay. Any other council members have any comments? Councilmember Cutaback.
Thank you. Well, as we work through the comp plan update, and they're envisioning Monroe and kind of looking at direction for parks and other things, bless you.
Excuse me.
Will this be a topic at all as far as through that process?
When Paul and I met with them a week or so ago, they felt that the comp plan kind of supports this, but they're connected, but they support each other versus this driving the comp plan. It doesn't necessarily operate like that, you know. But certainly the adventure theme, you know, all of that, I know that, at least in my opinion, they should kind of represent each other.
Sure. Well, no, so correct me if I'm wrong, but in the destination report that was done in 2007, where we had the consultant come out, that was before I was involved in council, but was aware of it through the it was the adventure sports and being a place where we had a lot of tournaments and softball and baseball and a lot bringing in people in here because we had the field space and we had the parks and that kind of thing to support that. Wasn't that more versus outdoor? You know, we've taken it, I think, with the wakeboard park and some other things to create even more of an adventure. But the destination plan didn't necessarily foresee a wakeboard park or that type of stuff that happened over the last 4 years. It was more adventure sports as far as the tournaments and that type of thing, providing that place for people where extreme, you know, the big tournaments could come here and we could support that. So. And I guess what I was asking before with my question was, as we go through the process, I'm not saying this should drive the process or the process would drive what logo we have, but as we go through the comp plan process, will any information bubble out of there that might have us relook at this?
This would be a question for Paul.
I suppose it's possible, you know, that what this comp plan process should bring out, will bring out, is a updated vision for the
right.
community. That's going to be something we're going to be discussing later this month. That's probably the closest specific item I can note that would tie back to the logo and the color scheme and so forth and the theme that sets. But from that point on, it's you know, I would hope that the decisions made in the comp plan are compatible and reinforce the kind of philosophy and theme that we're establishing in our everyday materials, like what we have now on the website and so forth.
Sure.
That's supported by what we think that we're thinking about in the comp plan.
Oh, but what I heard you say is that through the comp plan process, there could what comes out of there is a possible vision for Monroe in the future, right? So, and right now we have the adventure starts here, but just because we have that now doesn't mean that through that process that there might be something else that bubbles up. I mean, you would hope it supports that, but right. What if it doesn't?
That could certainly happen. I say that the timing is really right for this. Think about that at our meeting on February 25th as a debrief of the visioning workshop held last month and
right.
what kind of direction might come out of it. So eventually it's going to lead to a revised vision statement that's going to help drive the thinking and the policy and how we plan in the comp plan.
Right, so...
Direct connection there.
Having a revised vision statement, and I would think your vision should drive what else we do. Is it worth it? I appreciate the discussion on this now, but do we have to do anything with this right now? Could we keep it as is and go through more of the comp plan process, the comp plan update, see if anything bubbles up, see if there is a retooling of the division or the vision, and then look at whether we need to redo this or not. I don't know if it's necessary to redo this based on, I don't know what people are envisioning in those workshops and the direction that Monroe's going to take. I would hate to say tonight, oh, I don't like the logo and we need to change it, and then information bubbles up where people really want the adventure start, it, you know, it fits in with the direction we're going. When we had that consultant come out in 2007, and then we approved this in what year, Brad?
2011.
So 4 years after the consultant came out, we took that information, we believed it was still valid. We didn't necessarily do, we had public meetings and we had discussion about it, but we didn't, I think, hold any other workshops with the community on this logo and this. We did have it publicly and we asked for comments, definitely. So that was part of the process. But we took information that was in 2007. A lot has changed in from 2007 to now 2014. So I guess, do we have to say yay or nay on this tonight, or can we wait? I mean, we're waiting on the wayfinding because we agree that waiting is a smart move, not knowing what's going to come out of the comp plan update. Can we wait on this?
And I'll go ahead and recognize Councilmember Camp in just a second. He's been patient with his light. But I'm not aware of there being a deadline.
Okay.
That, you know, the wayfinding signs is what sparked bringing this forward. And then our discussion last week led to the discussion this week. So while the requested action is confirmation of city logo and color theme, there's not a time constraint to this right now. But certainly before somebody starts work on the wayfinding signs, we should be confident that this is the way that council would like to go. So, Councilmember Camp, did you have something, Gene?
No.
Okay. I'm sorry, Brad. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you, Mayor. That was the first thing. I saw you shaking your head. I was curious if you had some input.
Comment about the branding was Challenge Sports.
Yeah, Challenge Sports.
Although it had a tournament component, it was also talking about, you know, skateboarding, you know, BMX, biking,
Orbs.
Stuff too.
Do you remember Orbs were part of that?
Orbs, yeah, rolled down the hill of Atlanta.
And then Dragon Boats. they were in there.
Okay. I guess I missed that part.
Since we're trying to sell the landfill, we get monster place to roll down inside of a big hamster wheel down a hill, but
you'll be the first to do it.
I'm just trying to picture that. Okay, so Paul, the comprehensive plan update, is it going to get down into the detail of logo discussion in terms of this project that they're working on now? That's what I'm saying. You're saying that something may bubble up which may affect this, the logo itself. And I'm just trying to picture if there's going to be like a subcommittee that's going to determine whether or not they like the logo based on the input they're going to get from the comprehensive plan discussions.
Not specifically, no.
Okay.
But one last thought on in that direction. You know, on February 25th, we have a joint meeting, Council, Plan Commission, Parks Board, and
right.
Citizen Advisory Commission, talk about visioning, but it's also lean economic development. The next night, 26th, Wednesday night, we have a public workshop with a focus on economic development. Between the visioning and the economic development early stage, that's going to help define what this plan would be in terms of the image and how it's going to grow and what it's going to look like. And if you kind of extrapolate that, if our graphic design and imagery doesn't support whatever direction that is, then maybe it needs to change. If it does support, then maybe we leave it alone. Mm-hmm. But I think at some point as we next few months we'll have a better idea what is the appropriate logo. It's just like after all this other work, we're not going to get into the logo should change.
That's what I was concerned about from your discussion was that it would be getting down to that amount of detail. Okay, so
that may come back.
So if it and if it could, if it does, then we could address any local changes. I agree with you there. If there's no demand to have an immediate decision tonight or within the next week, then we can let this float. No one has any commitment. We don't have any designs, no signs being created, nothing. Again, I have to ask for a target date. Is there a target date that we have to have this decision made?
It would seem
that anyone's aware of.
It would seem to me that it would be consistent with the date that we would pull the trigger on the wayfinding signs.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Okay. So until we reach that point, then we'd have the final decision. And again, based on the information from the comprehensive plan update discussions, we can determine whether or not it needs to be changed. But at this time, there's no need.
Council, any other? Mr. Brazel, anything? Okay. So with that, what we'll do is we'll just go ahead and not list this on the upcoming agenda. We'll just make certain that it precedes the wayfinding sign RFP by a week or two.
That'd be good.
Okay. All right. We're going to move on now to the next item under new business, which is AB 14025, approval of amendment to the pay for performance policy for non-represented employees. And we have Ben, you're up.
Hopefully this shouldn't take long. I made a mistake when we rolled out our pay for performance policy. If you look under section 3.1.2, under my responsibilities of old things to forget, I forgot that annually we'll review the non-represented compensation to ensure compensation remains comparable to other communities of our size. And Councilmember Camp was in discussions with me, so I'm sure he can back me up on this, but that was something we had a lot of talk about. We did not do that this year in 2013 for 2014. We'll do it going into 2015 as part of the budget process. Did I forget anything, Councilmember Camp?
Councilmember Camp?
I think you hit it. I make a motion to approve amendments to policy number 2013-002, performance-based pay policy for non-represented City of Monroe employees.
Second.
I have a motion, and then I have a second from Councilmember Hanford. Discussion, Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. Ben, so for the non-reps, and do they have a range? So you're looking at making sure the range is comparable, not just...
Correct.
So,
absolutely.
And you feel it's necessary to look at that annually instead of every couple of years to check out the ranges?
If it was if we had an employee size of 500 people, I'd probably argue that we could get away with it every year, but there's only 23 of us. It's not going to take me that long.
Sure.
So there's not a lot of work involved, and I think it's just...
Okay, so you'll review all those ranges for every position that we have for the non-reps and look at that annually. Will it be just the HR director reviewing this, or is there like a
subcommittee? That's a good question. I can look at it, and then as part of the output, if I think that an adjustment needs to be made, I would first bring it to the HR and finance committee.
Okay.
And then as part of the budget process, we would say, hey, these
are the new ranges we're recommending.
Right. Recommending, providing we have the money, you know, and then so there would be an established amount there.
Well, I just wanted to make sure because this just says annually review, and to me, there's a couple other steps.
Right.
Which
I think there's a procedure step in there. So I'm sorry to interrupt.
Okay, no, that's okay because that's what I was trying to figure out. My question is annually review is one step, and then the next step is if there's recommendation or adjustments, it would go to the finance committee, and then it would come here for final approval because then it does become part of the budget.
Correct.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that was part of the process. Okay, thank you. And I don't know if it needs to be detailed in here for that. So that's
question for council. Would you like to have something that reflects that detail in here? There's not a time constraint to this, so is there any reason why you would want to reflect in here that a recommendation would be forwarded to the council, that you'd be looking at AWC? Is there any additional that this would be reviewed as part of the budget? Because right now it just says that annually this review will occur, and Councilmember Cutaback is right in that there is not an implementation clause to this, or you know what constitutes the review. Councilmember Camp, you're going to push your button.
I was going to agree with Councilmember Cutaback. It should be detailed, and I agree. And what's the procedure? I revoke.
Yeah, if you want to withdraw your motion.
I'll withdraw my motion.
I'll withdraw the second.
Okay, so am I to understand?
I guess we'd want to have direction to have that change made and brought that back to council at a later date.
Okay.
I think that's your...
Okay, so what staff will do is we'll go back and we will provide a little bit more clarity to what happens after the review. And it could be something to the effect of bringing that forward as part of the annual budget with a recommendation. And, of course, it would, you know, if council chooses, be deferred to committee at that time.
What? I thought it was, as part of the procedure, was supposed to go to the Finance Committee for review first.
Okay.
Brought to council. That was the intent.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Thank you.
Thanks,
Ben.
Okay. The next item that we have is under final action. It's AB 14026, approval of ordinance number 001-2014, adopting marijuana-related land use regulations, second and final reading. Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, I had a question. So this is taking care of the first reading that we did last week and making it permanent. However, I'm just missing it in these notes, but one of the things we talked about was the attorneys were going to be getting back to us about verbiage on the ban, so since it doesn't match up with state and federal law.
You mean for the business license?
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Popelka?
Thank you. Yes, tonight is the second reading to adopt interim regulations, similar to what we've had in the past, that bans medical marijuana and pretty severely restricts zoning for marijuana-related businesses. March 4th, we'll be bringing you an ordinance to ban issuing business licenses,
okay,
which is, in effect, a ban on marijuana businesses.
Perfect.
That is coming on March 4th, with the second reading on March 11th. So that is in process.
Thank you. That was my question. Mm-hmm. I'll move to adopt ordinance number 001-2014, adopting marijuana-related land use regulations to be codified in MMC Chapter 18.70, marijuana-related uses.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Cutaback. Any discussion on the topic? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion passes 4-0. Okay, we'll go ahead and move on to council member reports. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes. Doggone it, I had it now.
We can come back.
If I remember, I'll come back.
Okay. Councilmember Cutaback.
Yes, and Paul might add on to this, but last Friday I attended a meeting at Willis Tucker Park that talked about the extension of Centennial Trail to Monroe. Heard a lot of good information there. There was people from all parts of the community, lots of interest, I think, in having that extension happen. They showed us the map. They did let us know that the county does have funding to do the survey, so hopefully they will get to that. I would hope in the next 6 months is what they kind of mentioned that they would do. But there's, I think, a lot of interest in making it happen. It's about 5 miles from here until Snohomish, where the trail would hook up. And there's a couple areas where there's a wetland area and then the French Creek, so those are two problem areas with this trail, but it would follow the railroad tracks pretty much into Monroe and tie up just at the top of Lake Tye, kind of where that cement, or where the trailers are, the welcome trailers. So pretty exciting stuff. They think the cost would be about $10 million. There was interest in trying to tie it to what they're currently doing south, hooking up Snohomish to Woodinville, and there's going to be a trolley car connecting the two. And so, you know, this is starting the process, and my hope is that this council, what they suggested is that the councils of Snohomish and Monroe would do a letter of support to the county council in support of this happening, and encourage us to show our support of this. And I'm hoping that council will allow the Transportation Committee, Monroe Transportation Committee, to kind of work on this and lobby and help the county kind of make this happen. So it's very exciting. I mean, it's going to be a while, but it's exciting. So.
Thank you, Councilmember Cuddeback. Councilmember Hanford?
Yeah, I'll come back.
Councilmember Asmundson.
No council report.
Okay, Councilmember Camp.
Nothing for me, but I really want to know what Councilmember Hanford has.
So do I.
But I'm not willing to wait a half hour.
That's right.
Okay, let's move on to staff. Ben.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Diane. Thank
you. Do you know what time, Diane?
11.
Okay.
Thank you. Paul?
Nothing really new. We'll have a lot more information here the next week. But I echo Councilmember Cuddeback's comments on the trail being. I think there's a lot of interest and excitement about this. It's all dependent on funding. But the hope is that with this survey, they can, the county can really define what the costs are and start pursuing some funding, some additional funding for that. I know this has been talked about for a long time, but it's not the same category as the future highway bypass. Looking forward to something happening.
Thank you.
I'm going to get my bike to work.
Thank you. Chief Quinzer.
The only thing I'd like to add was we're really happy with to add the three officers to our group, our department there, and the only thing I'd like to call attention to is Officer Hand. That was my physique when I started out, too.
Please.
I don't know what
I have really thought about that.
I have a few thoughts.
Okay. Anything else, Chief?
No.
That's enough.
Brad.
In addition to the reports in your packet tonight, also added a new webpage that's got a map that you can, little colored places where all the city projects are. You can click on and find out information about that. Mm-hmm. And that's available at monroe.gov/projects.
Thank you. Okay, right. Gene. This Gene. Not that Gene.
Just a quick note that we went to the chamber luncheon today. We had staff and the mayor was present as well, and it was a great luncheon, a lot of energy. County Executive Lovick was there and gave a great speech. It was just a very good lunch. And one of the things that Nancy Truitt Pierce had pointed out is the synergy and the cooperation between the city and the school district and how exciting that is. And I think I might have mentioned it, or somebody mentioned it a few weeks ago. Since my time here at the city in nearly 30 years, that I've never seen the cooperation that we currently have. And it is super exciting, and hats off to everybody here that you've really put out the effort to make that connection. And I honestly believe really good things are going to come out of it, and you'll see some great things happen within the community because of the cooperation. So anyway, I'm just excited about where we're at right now, so I want to point that out.
Before we get on to the agendas, I see that Councilmember Hanford remembers what he was
saying. Yeah. And I spaced it because I'd already mentioned it to see Councilmember Cuddeback. But when I walked in tonight, I just was stunned by... So the grace and the beauty of Diane's new hairstyle. And just wanted to compliment you on that.
Thank you. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Gene.
You don't have anything?
Oh, yeah.
Chief's hairstyle.
So I attended the chamber luncheon today. I'll be going to the school district's capital facilities work group tomorrow night, meeting with the chamber board on Thursday at noon. They're having lunch with the mayor. Anique Bennett sent an email to me late last night that talks about a call to action, which is another term for, I mean, I don't want to belittle it and call it a tagline, but it's the chamber has a, she calls it a call to action, and what it is a sort of a theme, if you will, called Ride Here. And I forwarded that email to you this evening. The chamber is interested in, I guess promoting would be one way to phrase it, the concept that here in Monroe you can ride. So the idea of Ride Here reflects, you know, come ride at the speedway in a race car, come ride at the fairgrounds on a horse, come ride at Lake Tai on a wakeboard, come ride your bike, come ride, and it continues. So I would encourage you to take a look at the email that she sent. I have invited her to come in and give a brief presentation on March 4th, and she talks a little bit about in the email about how a municipal brand can be different than a chamber call to action, is I'm pretty certain the way that she phrased it. And so I would encourage you to read that ahead of time. And again, she'll come in on March 4th and talk a little bit about that. Let's see. I think that's it for right now. Oh, one thing at management last week, we talked not only about the general fund and a couple other things, but we also talked about permitting. As I pointed out in the general fund forecast, that's predicated on us processing about 500 single-family permit applications over the next 5 years, and that doesn't get into the commercial development and into the multifamily development and other things that our staff is working on. In the budget is my ability to hire all the way up to a director level position, which I don't feel is our highest need given our general fund, but rather an associate level planner is probably what we need. And I made a commitment to you at the first council meeting that I wanted to come back to you with a package. We do have a package to discuss next week. It will take some time to hire an associate-level planner, and I am convinced that we do need an associate-level planner to move permits. As some of you may be aware, at one point in time I was a planner on that side of the counter. At another point in time I was worked as a project manager for a residential development company, and I know that if I had a jurisdiction where it was difficult to get in and talk to a planner to get questions answered, that there'd be a lower probability that I'd want to do work in that jurisdiction. So we will come to you with a package next week. If council feels that starting the process for hiring an associate planner this week would not be incongruent with discussing a package next week where we talk about bringing on an on-call contract and things like that, I'd like to get the notice in the paper this week just so that we can get the ball rolling on bringing in an associate level planner. We can certainly wait till next week, but I'm giving you the option right now to allow us to go ahead and put that out in the newspaper as early as this week. But again, if you'd like, I can wait till next week. Councilmember Camp?
I would feel more comfortable if you waited till next week.
Okay, not a problem. Councilmember Cutterback?
Well, I was going to suggest sooner than later. I mean, because you post something doesn't mean you have to fill it,
mm-hmm.
right? Correct? It just starts the process so that if next week there isn't, you know, any reservations about moving forward and hiring a permitting person, that the process has started. But if there is, they don't have to fill the position. So it just gets the ball rolling. So I think the sooner you can start, and like you say, it takes time to have that. that occur where you put it out, and how long do we typically accept applications?
At least a week, but I would assume if we start the process now, you're looking at a month and a half at the earliest to get anybody on.
So even if we accept applications, we don't have to move on them, correct?
Correct.
So that would be my only suggestion. It just covers both bases, so I would suggest moving forward. But
and if we had a few more council members here tonight, I'd agree with you, but I'd want to hear additional opinions from these three. So, and 6 weeks versus 7 weeks, I don't think would make that much of a dynamic difference. If it's agreed to next week, then again, it'll be 6 weeks with the addition of that 1 week.
So I'm going to show deference then to what I told you I'd do on the first meeting, which is that I would present a package. So we'll present the package next week before sending out a notice to hire for the position. And I thank you for considering that. So I'm going to go back to Gene. Gene.
Thank you. Draft agenda for February 18th, 2014. Under announcements and presentations, we have the 2013 Police Department Awards. And then H3O will be here to give an update on the project. We have the consent agenda. And I have added, unless council disagrees, the non-rep pay policy.
Yeah.
That's fine. Under unfinished business, I have added 5-year forecast. Under new business, we have approval of ordinance number XXX 2014, amending animal control regulations. It's the first reading.
Gene?
Yes?
Is the 5-year forecast, that's on March 4th, not the 18th?
Yes, because thank you.
Yep.
Because Diane's not here February 18th.
And we can't do it without Diane.
There's no reason to put that on for next week, June. I mean, I prefer to have to take it back to my subsequent back to the committee and make sure they're fine with it on the board and then bring it back to later.
So okay.
What I don't want is not to go up again. So
okay.
We'll put that off till after.
Absolutely.
So we'll target March 18th just to put in a placeholder. March 18th.
Got it. Number two, planning and permitting personnel update. Number three is Monroe Music Fest discussion. Number four is approval of update real estate broker contract. What we're talking about there is we've had somebody interested in another piece of city property. It's the 12 and a half acres that was the old well site off of the Ingram Road. A developer's interest in that parcel, and it's not currently listed on her list, and so we're looking at amending, actually just having a whole new contract, all the same verbiage, but this is added, and then get council confirmation on that. And then number five, approve unappropriated of congestion mitigation, air quality grant, blah, blah, blah. Holy smokes. And then
we're going to get a lot more information about that one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Somebody else to read it. And then under the mayor and administration reports, we have the cancellation of the February 25th regular meeting. That'll be a special meeting at the school. And then the draft agenda for February 25th.
All right, on the extended agenda, is there anything to note?
Not to my knowledge.
Does anybody have any additions to the extended agenda? Okay. Do you have anything else, Gene? Okay. It appears there's no other business for this evening.
Yeah, one question.
Oh, Councilmember Camp.
I'm sorry, the joint meeting will still be occurring at 7 o'clock?
Yes, it will.
That's it.
Councilmember Hanford, have you remembered something?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
We have a motion to adjourn. I have a second. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes 4-0. Thank you, everybody.